Good evening. I call this August 8th, 2024, meeting of the Planning Commission to order. My name is Darrell Bozeger. I'm the chairman of the Planning Commission. My pleasure to welcome you here tonight. It's a public meeting and you're encouraged to take part of the process. Please participate, ask questions, share your thoughts. We have several rules to help us proceed with an orderly meeting and I ask you to keep them in mind. Turn off your cell phones. If you need to make a call or take a call, please step out of the chamber. When you wish to speak, simply raise your hand. I'll recognize you and ask you to come to the podium. Secretary Jones must record who you are, so please state your name, spell your last name, and state your address. Keep your remarks brief, about 3 minutes, so others have an opportunity to speak. Don't focus on the time. We will keep your comments and focus on your comments. This meeting is being conducted in accordance with the Nebraska Open Meetings Law. Copy of Open Meetings Law is posted at both exits. I now call for a roll call of members.
Bozeger?
Here.
Valeska?
Here.
Pounds?
Here.
Kading?
Here.
Huber? Radner?
Here.
Schroeder? Boswell?
Here.
Heinrich?
Here.
Hold on. Okay,
good.
Sorry.
All good? Yep. Item number three, approval of the minutes from the June 4th, 2024 meeting.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion made by Radner, seconded by Pleska to approve the minutes. Any further discussion? Please vote.
Commission members present voting aye, Boswell, Pounds, Radner, Bozeger, Heinrich, Pleska, abstaining, Kading.
Thank you. I'll open a public hearing for a presentation of 2024 Housing Advisory Committee findings and recommendations and to potential motion to place on file findings and recommendations. Joe.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good evening, commissioners. Good to see you all tonight. And you've got a full docket before you tonight. The first thing, and I don't want to hopefully take too much of your time tonight, is to talk a little bit about the Housing Advisory Committee recommendations that are coming before you. They're also going then to the LB 840 Advisory Committee. And then at the end of the month, at the second meeting of the month, they'll go to the City Council for their final consideration. Hopefully, if the City Council approves them, then staff will begin to implement them going forward. So, first off, I want to thank those who have served on this housing committee. I'm going to take the time to read their names because they've put in a lot of time over the last 5 months. And several of you are here tonight, both on the commission as well as in the audience. So, Holly Hafer, who served as chair, a representative from the City Council, Joel Bacon, a lender here in the community, Chris Boswell from the Planning Commission, thank you for your service. Katie Ferrari, who initially was on the City Council when she first was selected, now is on the City's legal team. Matt Gutzman from Cargill. Kirk Heifel, again from the City Council, Ward Number 4. Nate Huber, a local builder. Ashley Cruz, a local realtor. Jeanette Nielsen, who's here, a local realtor. Thank you tonight. Joe Pleska, again from the Planning Commission. Mike Rooks, the Executive Director for Gateway Development Corporation, obviously Mayor Mindy Rump, Ryan Schroeder from the Planning Commission, thank you. Ed Shatta, who was representing both Lutheran Family Services and the Dana Village. And obviously Ed Shatta has been involved with Angel Share from the initial start of their involvement there. Travis Svengard, a local realtor, Mike Tupa, local lender, and then Steve Worley, a local contractor. Again, this great group of individuals got together and devoted a lot of time to work on this. Then there's several staff members that are listed up here. I appreciate their involvement. I was involved, Aaron Barrow, our assistant administrator, CJ Heaton, our director of public works, Brenda Wheeler, our city clerk, Jeff Byerman, who's our community development director, and then Ben Gould, who's our HR manager. So again, appreciate everyone's involvement and their activity over the last several months in this. So again, this devoted group of individuals met once a month for the last 5 months, so from March through July of this year. They discussed the following subjects: current subdivision financing in Blair, how SIDs are utilized in other jurisdictions. We just kind of talked about the comparisons and especially the distinctions and why Blair historically has done assessment districts. It really focuses on needing people to be in the city limits, just simply because the city of Blair does not have the volume of retail that exists usually in the Omaha metro area or for the cities that are in Sarpy County, where you see a lot of these SIDs. They really aren't impacted that much directly by having those housing units outside the city limits. They don't pay property taxes to the city, but they shop usually in the city in the shopping malls and things like that. They're usually quick at annexing those, and so they get all that retail expense. City of Blair just doesn't really have that. And so for us to be able to do developments well, we really need to have those developments within the city limits at their start. Number two, they talked about current housing subsidies in Blair, how we've utilized those over the last few years, and potentials going forward. Number three, current annexation approaches and allowable alternatives. So we talked about what the law does allow here in Nebraska, how we've normally annexed developments, and usually we've annexed land only when it was being developed. And oftentimes, again, as a housing development, that was a necessary requirement, was that you needed to be annexed prior to that development occurring. We talked about the fact, though, that really the state law simply says that it has to be urban and suburban in nature, and you have to have a plan on how infrastructure would be provided to that particular area to be annexed. And then finally, number four, we talked about current residential zoning districts and allowable alternatives to our current zoning districts. The committee members then answered an extensive housing survey and ranked their support of various incentive options. Options that would be available to finance subdivision development, to help increase the number of residential units being constructed, to increase the development of land adjoining the city limits and what that would look like as we see more subdivisions being formed, and finally number four, to increase the density of new housing developments. And these results were then compiled for the group, and their results are what we have as the committee's recommendations that are found in Exhibit A. And so those were in your attachment in Spark. Let me take some time to go over those tonight then. And this is really kind of the heart of the recommendation. First off, in there is a copy of the resolution that will really go to the city council. And that would be their resolution to approve eventually adopting these recommendations and the subdivision listing map that's in there. And I'll talk about it more in just a minute. Another one of the attachments, and Jeff, if you have an opportunity to maybe switch over and pull this one attachment up, maybe you can follow through as I read through this, but it's the primary recommendations that are coming from the advisory committee. And again, I want to just take the time to read this because of its importance for what we're doing going forward. And so Jeff's got it there, he'll zoom in a little bit. Simply says, the Housing Advisory Committee from 2024, comprised of 17 members from the community, 5 ex officio members, have been meeting regularly since March 1st, 24, and have reviewed the challenges Blair faces regarding housing. The current policies and regulations controlling residential subdivisions were reviewed, and the committee has been informed regarding all legal options available to the city of Blair to spur additional housing. The Housing Advisory Committee has surveyed its members, a majority of whom have strongly indicated that they are supportive of providing incentives to builders and or developers to increase single-family housing and multifamily housing. The committee determined that the following would increase available housing options. And so these are all things that they would be in support of. One, allow more apartment units in the central business district. Again, that's partly then some rules and regulations that we may want to look at that may need to be revised. Right now in the downtown area, apartments are allowed on the second floor or in the basement, but they're technically not allowed on the first floor right now. That may be something that we would want to look at and would obviously come back to all of you as changes in our zoning regulations. Number two, allow accessory dwelling units in some residential zoning districts. ADUs are becoming kind of a popular common thing. May not be appropriate in all zoning districts, but may be appropriate in some. And so again, those rules and regulations would come back through you. Number three, to allow cottage villages within some residential zoning districts. Again, cottage villages, oftentimes, you know, maybe tiny houses or at least smaller houses, but they're not necessarily lined up along public streets. It could be a kind of a collection with more walking paths in between the individual units, maybe joint parking in certain areas, as well as joint recreational facilities. Number four, to adjust and relax off-street parking requirements for multifamily dwellings. And we've begun to do that already through a few of the planned unit developments that we have ongoing. Number five, to support using tax increment financing, or TIF, to enable the development of buildable lots and new housing. Number six, the city of Blair should be proactive when annexing contiguous property outside of the city when new development occurs or when it is in the best interest of the city to help promote further development. And again, this goes back to that philosophical approach when it comes to annexations. That instead of always waiting until the land actually is developed, maybe sometimes developable land should be brought into the city limits earlier. It's kind of an incentive then for the current land owners to market that land, and it helps with a little bit of the revenue that the city needs to see those areas developed at the same time. Finally, then number seven, the highest and best use in new residential subdivisions within the city limits would be having multifamily residential low density, or what we know as our RML, as the default district, whereas right now RM is the default district, residential medium density. So this would allow denser development in new subdivisions, and that would, if this was approved by the council, but would ultimately come back to you as a change in our zoning regulations to have that kind of be the standard default zoning then for new housing subdivisions. Then this recommendation goes on and talks about two specific things. And so it's important for you to understand the distinction between these two sections. This next section is going to deal with the development of raw land into subdivision lots. So the making of new lots, and therefore the installing of streets and water and sewer and sanitary sewer, storm sewer, things like that. The third section that we'll look at then deals with the actual construction of new additional residential units. So this second middle section says this: the Housing Advisory Committee recommends offering the following incentives to land developers to increase the number of buildable lots within the city limits of Blair and within Blair's zoning jurisdiction that would support single-family dwellings and multifamily dwellings that are in harmony with the state of Nebraska's Missing Middle Act. These incentives are not guaranteed, but are at the discretion of the city council. And there are four of them that are listed here, again, for land development. A, to increase the assessment payment period for public improvements, water, sanitary sewer, streets, and storm sewer, to up to 20 years. Historically, Blair's generally done oftentimes just 10-year assessments, sometimes 15-year assessments, but we're allowed to go up to 20 years for that. Stretches out the payments, makes them a little bit smaller per month. And again, the land developer ultimately is responsible for all those assessment payments until those lots are sold. Once they're sold and someone goes to build on those lots, whoever's doing the financing for the construction doesn't allow the city to remain in first place. And so as part of that construction loan, they'll lend them enough money to pay off all of the assessments for that particular lot. But again, this makes it a little bit less of a burden on the developer over time. B, then, to assess 100% of the cost of water, streets, storm sewer management, and sanitary sewer installation. And again, historically, Blair had usually required the developer to put down 20% themselves up front. Again, these are usually developed by assessment districts, which means the city's actually putting in the development, all the land, or the developer buys the land, does the grading, but the city puts in the street, puts in the water, and sanitary sewer, and storm sewer, then assesses that cost back to those lots. We've usually required them to put in 20% of all that cost up front cash, and then the city would only assess 80%. That limits, obviously, the liability the city has to just 80% of those costs. The recommendation here is look at going all the way up to 100% at times. Again, it leverages a little bit more of the city's lending abilities to be able to do that, stretches those payments out over time, makes it hopefully a little bit more of an incentive up front for the developer to move forward with some new development. C, then, on the development side, the city of Blair pays for all or part of the cost to extend water, streets, and sanitary sewer to subdivisions. This would not be the water, sanitary sewer, other assessments that are inside the footprint of the subdivision. It's the idea that if it's out a little ways, eighth of a mile, quarter of a mile away from the city, seems like an appropriate place for development to occur, annexation could occur, so it would be within the city limits, that the cost of extending the mains out there would be something that the city would bear. Again, there's a variety of ways that the city can recoup those costs from other developers that may develop in, sometime in the future in between those two different locations. But instead of having the developer kind of pioneer those costs and pay them themselves, it would end up being the city that would look at doing that. And then finally, D, for land development, support the use of TIF funds and LB 840 funds for new buildable lots for developers. So again, those are the incentives that are being recommended by the committee for land development. Then going on finally to the third section, deals with, again, the construction of housing. The Housing Advisory Committee recommends offering the following incentives to residential builders to increase the number of residential structures within the city limits of Blair and within Blair's zoning jurisdiction. These incentives are not guaranteed, but are at the discretion of the City Council. And again, there's four of them listed here. Support the use of TIF funds and the City of Blair's Local Option Municipal Economic Development Fund, otherwise called LB 840, to support new residential development. And so both TIF as well as LB 840 funds would potentially be available for residential development. In fact, we've seen two of those happen in just the last few months. And so this would be a request, if you will, to continue to look at that. I would say of all the options that are listed in this document, this one on residential development and the use of TIF is probably potentially the most controversial, mainly because by spurring on residential development, oftentimes you'll have more families and can then also mean more children in the school system. And by the use of TIF, you're limiting for at least that 15 potential year period when additional taxes would be available to the school district. And that is something that I think that ultimately the City Council has to kind of weigh in the balance, what kind of housing units they are and whether that would be appropriate. Of course, I always remind everyone that it should be true that TIF is applied when it's essential and necessary, and if you never have that development, then you'll never have those families and you'll never get any of that revenue. And so whether the school has a short period of time where they're missing some of that revenue, whether that revenue gets replaced through the state's funding mechanisms based on the number of children they have in the district, you know, all those things need to be considered going forward. Going on with the list then, number 2B, reimburse builders through LB 840 the cost of building permits for any new residential structures. And so those permits would still be charged. Obviously, a building department still needs those revenues to help pay for that staff that's there and the activities that they do. But here's a reimbursement mechanism through LB 840. C, reimburse residential builders through, again, LB 840, all or a portion of the sales tax paid on construction materials purchased. So again, normal builders, if they're not a nonprofit entity building for a nonprofit purpose, they do pay sales tax on the materials that they buy to construct those residential units. And so this recommendation would be that they could basically work with LB 840 and Gateway Development Corporation, submit those receipts for sales taxes that were actually paid and get reimbursed for that, again, as an incentive to build here instead of building someplace else. And then finally, D, to reimburse builders through, again, LB 840, part of the cost required for storm shelters in developments using slab on-grade construction. Sorry for the language there, it's a little mixed up. But one of the things we're looking at doing with increasing density, and especially, say, on cottage villages and other things like that, you normally don't have basements in those smaller units. Well, we're obviously concerned about public safety, and there's some additional cost then involved if you're going to have some kind of a storm shelter, whether it be for individual smaller homes or whether it be for a community like this, that LB 840 would potentially then be available to help reimburse part of the cost for those storm shelters. And then finally, the recommendation letter ends, the City of Blair staff is directed to use the above listed incentives to help spur development. The City of Blair staff is directed to utilize the subdivision ranking list, we'll talk more about that in just a minute, to utilize the subdivision ranking list to provide potential options to builders and or developers when information on potential land options is requested. And so sometimes, you know, people do come to us and say, well, you know, where are places in and around town that we should be looking at possibly developing? We would now have an active list to be able to use to recommend for them. So Jeff, why don't you go ahead and go back to the PowerPoint. So that's Exhibit A that you have in your packet before you. And then let me go back one page. Committee members then toured and ranked various undeveloped sites around Blair and rated their opinions of the viability and the appeal of each site. So it was simply based on that. These are not professional engineers. They don't fully understand all the costs involved or anything like that. But this good group of volunteers went around and looked at all of these sites and then judged them based on viability, in their opinion, and appeal of each of the sites. And these results were then compiled for the group, and the results are what we have as this subdivision ranking list, or Exhibit B. And just to show you a little bit about what they look like, and we'll be putting together a packet and make this available to land developers as we invite them to come to town, tour around a little bit with us, look at some potential sites. And now these are all going to be color-coded. So the green spots are areas that have recently been developed since the last Housing Advisory Committee met in 2017. And so we like to show these because these are success stories. These are places that have been developed, were on the list previously, and we've seen some good housing development occur. Then the red areas that are listed up here are the ones that are the highest on the list. We'll see the color ranking when we get to the actual scores. Darker gray ones are the lowest tier, and then there is a middle tier in here as well, which are the yellow ones. So we've divided up the maps, as you can see, between the north part of town, the center part of town, and we'll have one obviously with the southern part here coming up in a minute. But each of these potential undeveloped sites, some have been platted, some have not been platted, but none of them have been developed yet. And yet all were looked at by the committee, ranked again based on that viability and appeal. Then we kind of extrapolated that to highlight the distinctions between them, and then came up with a scoring system that we did. And then we have the southern ones that are mostly outside the city limits, south of the roundabout or parallel with the roundabout. And then we have this ranking sheet that we'll end up giving to individuals. And so as the individual members ranked them, they had a 1 through 3 ranking system was all. But then we multiplied those out to kind of highlight the threes and minimize the ones a little bit to give some distinction then between those that were ranked high and those that were ranked low. And so we came up with this list. And obviously it's the red ones that are red on the maps that are the ones that seem to be most interesting or most enticing, although all of them are potentially available. Now again, we stressed even with the advisory committee, we've not had any conversations with landowners. This is not about the city telling somebody what they have to do with their land. This is simply land that's nearby that looks like it's potentially developable. And what do people think as far as the viability and the appeal of those particular sites? But we would anticipate then going forward that as developers come to us, we could share with them this list and they might take that information into consideration as well. So, what are we asking you to do tonight then as the Planning Commission? Well, obviously, you're going to receive and place on file any comments that are written. That'll come up in a minute. The chairman will mention that. You're going to hear any other comments that are from the floor. Chairman will close the public hearing in a minute. And then this is really our request to you tonight to place on file these findings. And again, that simply means that, yes, we acknowledge that this has been given to you as the Planning Commission, and we're going to, as the city, hold on to it. So place on file these findings and recommendations, and then this is the key part, and to confirm that these recommendations are in conformance with the city's comprehensive plan. That's really your primary task. You know, is this in conformance with the comprehensive plan overall for the city, because that is really the guiding document that all of you as the Planning Commission work from. Again, we'll be making the same presentation and discussion with the LB 840 Advisory Committee. You saw how often some of those funds might be utilized with some of these incentives, so we want their buy-off on that as well. And then again, as I said, ultimately these will go to the City Council at the end of the month. So, lots of little details there, but I'll answer any questions you may have. Otherwise, again, Chairman, Mr. Chairman, I'll open it up for any comments from the public that they may have. Again, there may be some of the committee members who want to say something about just the whole experience or their thoughts on it. There may be other citizens who want to say something about it. But again, ultimately, it would place on file these recommendations and then find them in conformance with the comprehensive plan. Questions for me?
Is there any comments that were written or anything that come in?
No.
Okay. Is there anybody in the public that would like to speak on this issue? Please come forward. State your name, address, spell last name.
Kirk Heifel, H-I-G-H-F-I-L-L, 810 Mill Drive. I was part of the commission. You guys saw it, and Phil did a good job of telling who was all on it. And it was a good, diverse group of folks. Came up with, I think, some pretty good ideas. We had some other ones that didn't quite make it. But I think if we keep going with this and we get it through you folks and the LBA 40 team and then the council later, I think it'd be very, very good for the city of Blair and the things that we need for our employers and our, you know, our restaurants and our stores and everything else. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anybody else like to speak on this issue? If not, I'll close the public hearing. Will someone want to put these findings on file? Someone want to?
I'll make a motion.
Okay.
Put these findings on file.
And again, I think for the record, just to stipulate that it's in conformance with the city's comprehensive plan.
Yeah, exactly.
When I'm questioning, how do we know it's in conformance when I just look at that map? Sorry.
No,
that's good. That's good. Those are good questions. And again, you always have the task when you're looking at individual items, whether they're right in conformance with what the comprehensive plan talks about. So obviously, you're not really committing to any individual thing other than those incentives that they're talking about tonight. But would these incentives help the city accomplish the comprehensive plan? That's really what is being asked tonight. Therefore, it's in conformance with that because it moves in the general direction of what you think the comprehensive plan wants you to do. Now, if for some reason we came up with some really weird, odd, you know, idea that let's go, you know, across the river to Iowa and take over, you know, part of Iowa, you know, I mean, that would not be in conformance with what our comprehensive plan talks about. So, you know, but these are in very general ways. And so maybe the best way to think about it is, does it help us accomplish what that comprehensive plan talks about?
Okay. So, motion by Kading and second by Pounds. Is there any further discussion, any amendments? If not, please vote.
All commission members present voting aye.
So the motion carries. Okay. Item number five. I'll open a public hearing to consider a rezone application submitted by Highways 133 and 30 LLC, 1019 North 190th Street, Elkhorn, Nebraska, John Mabry Principal, on lots 4, 5, and part of lots 2, 3, Gutschow Plaza of Blair, Washington County, Nebraska, being all or part of Gutschow Plaza, lying south of the east-west quarter line of 231811 to change the zoning district from RM, residential medium density, to ACH, agricultural highway commercial.
Thank you. Good evening. For your first consideration tonight on that rezoning application, it is at the intersections of 133, the rest 133, and US 30, just south of Roundabout. The rezoning is being requested to better serve the proposed Blair Crossing Apartments and Retail Center. Part of the Gutschow Plaza subdivision, which is tax lot 138, is already zoned ACH. However, the remaining lots in the existing subdivision are zoned R at residential medium density, which neither allows multifamily dwellings or retail spaces. So the request is to take all of this area now and turn it into highway commercial. As you'll see, this top portion here is 138. This is the area that we were talking about, which is the partials of Gutschow Plaza. Future land use map already zoned for commercial as opposed to residential, which you'll see the small corner there. Again, it's just commercial, it's not any sort of special retail. You know, like the industrial future land map is just industrial. So this is just commercial, already fits in with the future land use map. Here's the current zoning map now. You see this area up here, and these areas here are already zoned highway commercial. The area in question today would be these parts of that Gutshaw Plaza subdivision represented within the yellow line. When all is done, if everything is recommended and voted on, it should all turn out to be highway commercial. Any questions for staff on this rezone?
Okay. Is there anyone want to speak to this issue in the audience, please?
Good evening. Joe Zadina with Langford Harrison, Z-A-D-I-N-A, here on behalf of the applicant and Tom, but there's also a representative here. If there's any questions, we've been working with the city on this several different meetings. I know there was a hearing on 2840, so today, this is the rezone. Next will be the preliminary plat, and then we're working through some improvements and some layout options to hopefully submit. So we're going to miss August. We're going to try and submit for September for October to bring the PUD and the final plat, and I believe the TIF as well. So this is not the last time we'll have an opportunity. We'll actually have a little bit more detail when we come next time and present to you. But I'm here to answer any questions as an engineer or surveying, I mean, any of that stuff. And if there's questions specifically on the project, Aiden's here for any time. So thank you.
Any questions of the applicant? Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody on the audience like to speak on this issue? Seeing none, I'll close the public hearing and see what the commission would like to do.
Make a motion to approve the rezone as submitted.
Second.
Motion by Boswell, second by Ravner to approve the rezone as submitted. Any further discussion or questions? Please vote.
All commission members present voting aye.
Okay, this will this go to the city council
at the second meeting.
Okay, I'll open a public hearing to consider a preliminary plat application submitted by highways 123 and 30 LLC, 1019 North 190th Street, Elkhorn, Nebraska, John Mayberry, principal for the Blair Crossing subdivision, lots 1, 2, and outlot A, being a replatting of part of Gutshaw, I don't know if I'm saying that right, Gutshaw Plaza, together with tax lot 138 and part of tax lots 132 and 144, all in section 23, township 18 North, range 11 East, Washington County, Nebraska. Jeff.
Thank you. For your next consideration, it is basically the same parcels we were talking about with the rezone. This is going into the replatting of the Gutshaw subdivision and the tax lots. Again, Blair Crossing project, this will be able to add, the replat's going to add, I believe, 4 multifamily apartment buildings and retail building. The current plan, preliminary plan, is for 132 apartments. The change will replace the entire Gutshaw Plaza subdivision. And the plans for the subdivision also include a public street, which will access both Highway 133 and Highway 30, obviously on the east and the west. There are plans for a proposed retaining wall that's in the right-of-way, but that is being reworked and located. Again, here's a picture from the roundabout showing the area, Highway 133 to your left, Highway 30 to your right. This will be the detention pond, and it just moves all the way up the hill. Area view from the GIS, this is the retention pond here, roundabout Highway 30 and 133 on each side. Lots in question are these right there. Current zoning map. Obviously, it's not changed yet, so we still show this being RM, the rest of this being RACH. Property in question, outlined in red, that shows the tax lots, and the Gutshaw shows the city of Blair's property lines here. This is not included. This is part of the owners to the south. Quick shot of the utilities. We have water, water on this side of the street, sewer on this side, same thing over here, water and sewer working its way down both highways 30 and 133. Access to this subdivision will be at the state's predetermined location at 133, which is a little bit farther south. That is the former Mutual of Omaha building there, 133, the driveway going up. There have to be some right-of-way obtained to finish that up. I believe that the state is requiring both reworks of the highway on both sides. I believe 133 may be a little bit more extensive, but they've also looked at the plans. Again, that's quite a bit south of the area to around where the right-of-way ends there. A quick shot of what the future subdivision will look like. Outlot A is a detention pond. Lot 1 now, just be two lots, will be this area here. I believe this will entail the apartment, enclose the apartments. Retail will be in this area here. This will be the new right-of-way. This will be where the retaining wall. Usually, we don't like outlots, but in this case, there's going to be a contiguous partial agreement. As you know, our contiguous partial agreements allow for any building across the lines, but that outlot A will be attached to lot 1, which means that nothing can be sold without the other. The only way that anybody could break that would be for the city to actually break that contiguous partial agreement. So we're not quite so worried about the city getting stuck somewhere down the road with an outlot for water detention. It's a picture of the entire plat, just different areas here, some topo in that area, right away, which ends here, again, Highway 30, 133. This is the proposed retaining wall. This is going to be eliminated. It's an administrative green. Can you talk about this a little bit?
Yeah, thanks, Jeff. And again, just as a reminder, because again, what you're looking at tonight is a preliminary plat. And so preliminary plats primarily is the opportunity for the city to examine kind of the broad perspective of what kind of the development is being looked at, begin to make some recommendations. So you can approve a preliminary plat, even though we're pointing out certain things that we're not going to, in the long run, be willing to live with and accept sometime down the road. But they don't necessarily have to change that, come back with a brand new preliminary plat or something like that. If there were some major changes that we felt like, you know, you had to reject the whole thing, that might happen. Well, as we began to look at the preliminary plat, one of the things we noticed was, wow, this right-of-way is really wide. And we weren't quite sure why it was so wide, because most normal city streets have a 50-foot right-of-way. And that's much more wider than that. Now, keep in mind, this is the old Getchall development. And this is where they're planning the new street that would come through. For those of you that maybe remember the history of this whole area, this used to be where the honeybee farm used to be. So we've talked with the developer, kind of let them know a little bit about the history, and they've already agreed that this new public street is going to be called Honeybee Lane that comes through here, just to kind of give some honor and remembrance to the honeybee farm that used to be there. But we thought, well, why is the Honeybee Lane so close to the southern piece? Well, obviously it's because of the fact that they want to make maximum use of that development. But if you've noticed out there, the grading right now, the property line that exists out here actually is up that hill a little ways. So even the grading that was done in the past primarily built a buildable flat lot out here, and then there's quite a little bit of a slope here. For them to utilize all of that and not to encroach on the adjoining property at all, you only have one option, and that's a massive retaining wall. And we're talking actually two massive retaining walls. One was 24 feet tall, the other one was 16 feet tall, just near behind it. But if you've seen some major developments that take place in other cities where there's some rolling hills, sometimes that's the only option that you have available to you. The problem is they were planning to build these lovely retaining walls, leave them in the right of way, and then give them to the city. And we felt like, no, thank you. You know, that's not what we want to do. So we said, well, give us an opportunity to go talk to the adjoining property owners. And so the Soderbergs live down here. Gordon and then Troy and his wife Liz live over here. And so it's like, you know, give us an opportunity to go talk to them. Worst case scenario, maybe they'll give you a grading easement So that allows you to go onto their property, grade, and take some of that hill down. You can take the dirt off of this hill here and waste it out on this area, building up the lot a little bit. Worst case, if that's all that they want and they want it back in pasture land, you'll give it back to them in pasture land, which is a different grade to it, a different contour. And you can save all that cost for that retaining wall. And still have a street located, you know, close to the property line. So the developer was very interested in that. Myself, Mike Rooks from Gateway Development Corporation, have had multiple really good conversations with the Soderbergs. We haven't quite finalized exactly what that looks like yet. They're even considering whether they want to end up with a couple buildable lots along here as well, because that's a logical thing to do when a new, brand new public street is being put in. You want to be able to have lots on both sides if you can. And so there may be some additional grading even that would take place that would provide them some lots here. Or there's always the possibility as development occurs that that's the time when you decide, well, maybe this whole land just needs to be developed to its highest and best use. And this will give them an opportunity to kind of consider what those options are. So I just wanted to make sure that we communicated to you tonight that the reason we're okay with this preliminary plat the way it is because we've been having these conversations. But in no way are we going to ultimately ever accept one that would go back to having the retaining walls as something that the city would be responsible for. Now, it may be that retaining walls ultimately, because they can't come to some kind of conclusion, that maybe retaining walls do have to be built. But our recommendation at that point in time would be that they would be built in another outlot that wouldn't be adjoining, but would be have some kind of an agreement that it would always go with the apartment complex here, and therefore transfer maintenance away from the city, because ultimately that's our responsibility, is to make sure that the city doesn't get stuck with some kind of, you know, retaining wall maintenance going forward. Thanks, Jeff.
So, thank you. Also, preliminary plat was shared with the political subdivisions, schools, county surveyor, fire department. There were some questions about fire, chances for turnaround for make sure that there's enough from fire trucks and fire hydrants and stuff like that. Matonic will be working with the Blair Volunteer Fire Department, make sure they got everything straightened away, because obviously safety is number one on this for everybody concerned. So that came out okay. That were the only questions on that. Nothing from the surveyor, nothing from the schools. We also shared it with the Washington County Surveyor and the Roads Department for the Washington County. Heard no comments one way or the other. So they think they had 10 days to respond, and that's well over. And the retaining wall. So that's what it's going to look like, proposed. And again, your access is here and then probably down there.
How many stories high are they?
They're three stories.
Which is plenty. I think even before the change in ACH, three stories was allowed. We went up a little bit higher, but they're staying within that three-story area range. So retail there, right away there. With that, any questions for staff on this?
Well, I noticed on the 133 inches, I didn't really see the lot go all the way down to that road. Does that mean they have to get some right-of-way?
Yes, there will have to be some right-of-way acquired to make that connection to the road.
Make that connection.
We're looking at that as options right now.
And the other one, the Outlot A, or is that what it's called, Outlot A?
Yes.
Is it, are they, a lot one, are they allowed eventually to maybe divide it up in more than one lot, and then you have a problem with lots possibly not owning that outlot A?
Well, that outlot will always be attached to the lot number one. That can't be broken.
But lot one is always, you can't break up lot one then.
You potentially, if you were to be able to work things out so that all the setbacks and also all the apartments were that way, but okay, somewhere along the line that outlot is going to be attached to one of those lots.
And it hopefully would go back to the planning commission and the city council.
Yeah.
And so yeah, they couldn't do it without the city's permission.
Yeah. And they could come in here and say, well, we're just going to do this, and you're you.
Well, unless something else happens, no. They'd have setback problems and stuff with if you split up the lots.
Yeah, there's all kinds of issues. But again, it comes down to, like City Administrator Green said, it comes down to you and council simply say, no, not going to do it.
Yeah, okay.
That's that.
So how many cars a day are going to go by
the driveway on 133 for Mr. Soderbergh?
I will let Batonic answer that. I think there have been some studies. Mm-hmm. Yes, they've worked out with the state on that.
I apologize. We conducted a traffic study.
Let's come up here.
Anything else for staff?
No. Okay. Yeah, come up here. Come up here, please.
Good evening again. Great question. Unfortunately, I brought a bunch of papers. I did not bring the study. We did count cars. We did project traffic. We shared that with the Department of Transportation. So our traffic study has been with the department for about 2 weeks, and we expect an answer from them next week, just verifying the improvements along each highway. I'll certainly provide to Phil and Jeff the draft traffic study. I apologize. I think we included it with our submittal, but if not, I certainly can. So we did do that. We will provide a final study with all the information as requested. Yes, sir.
And again, the state is having some substantial improvements in not only Highway 30, but the 133. Mm-hmm. So extra turn lanes possibly, and they've all been in consultation with the proper Safeway.
Yes, sir. And Mr. Pelleska, I don't know if you noticed that his driveway is going to be rerouted a little bit. So his driveway will connect to the Honeybee Lane, which then goes back to where the entrance is. So.
Okay. Yes, sir.
So not being able to see below where the Honeybee Lane comes in, if you're coming from Omaha on Highway 133 to enter this whole unit, you have to go to the roundabout and then come back, or how?
If you were heading northbound on 133, like coming into town, right? You would take. Yep. There you go. Perfect. That's okay.
Go back.
That's okay.
So just say what?
The aerial that you had there.
Weather.
Yep. That access point has been predetermined. That is our access location. We must line up with Neutral Omaha, and then we're going to go ahead and kind of parallel Highway 133 as you head north. So almost, it's a parallel road. It'll almost look like a fronted road, if you will, but that will take you into the development. So you can take a left northbound on 133 at that intersection.
Would you have to have a turning lane off of 133, I would assume?
That? That's what we're, yep. Those are the things that the state has, just by default, the state lovely always decides that there's a turn lane, a center turn lane, and then a right turn lane. And then until we can show the math or science to debate that, but that's likely what we're going to be seeing on both intersections to be verified with the state.
Now, one of the things that was done when Highway 133 was improved is they required a left-hand turn lane here for northbound already. Mm-hmm. So there's already a left-hand turn lane that would turn into that. This 133 improvements is actually the cheaper of the two because there's basically just the right-hand deceleration lane on southbound that would have to be added to this. There's some additional improvements that would go in here, like with an island that's located over on the other side. The improvements on the Highway 30 side are substantial because right now it's narrowing down just to the two lanes, you know, one up, one down the hill, and they're going to have a dedicated left-hand turn lane, right-hand deceleration lane, widening that whole road. So I would say almost three-fourths of the cost of all the highway improvements are on the Highway 30 side.
Are those highway improvements, are those left to the developer then?
It's part of the negotiated deal. The city's still talking with them. It's one of the things that we're looking at when it comes to TIF. We're actually talking to the state about a few things that they might be able to do as well.
How close is that to the house on 30?
To the Troy Soderbergh's?
Yep, to Troy's.
It's a little ways away. Yeah, this is a good example. Okay. When this was originally platted as the Gutshaw Plaza back in 2007, they were just starting to build this house, or they had the idea to build the house. They understood that ultimately their driveway, instead of going all the way to that location, will basically butt off on the road that comes in here then. And so the new entrance is going to be here. Their driveway will just come off the side of that. It'll have a nice little sign that says private drive.
So that right away does not need to be extended, but the Highway 133 does to line up with the mutual intersection. And before I start, I just want to say we're excited to be here. I should say that. I should have started with that. I mean, it was kind of fun to be here and hear about all the housing study and all the recommendations from there, because I mean, a lot of these things line up with kind of what makes a project like this feasible. You know, the PUD is a great instrument that helps us with parking, as an example. So beyond just the financing mechanisms and levers that you guys are looking at, is just kind of that ability to look at a project individually on its own and see through the PUD, does this make sense? How can we accommodate the development? And so we'll have a lot more detail when you see me next, you know, because we'll be expected to with the PUD to give you the parking counts, to give you the setbacks, to give you those sort of level of detail that maybe answer some of the questions that you have regarding the specifics of the development.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anybody in the audience like to speak on this issue? You're in an open meeting. Seeing none, I'll close the public hearing and see what the commission would like to do.
I will make a recommendation to accept as presented.
I'll second.
Recommendation to present to approve as recommended and by Pleska and seconded by Katie. Any further discussion? Please vote.
All commission members present voting aye.
So that'll go to City Council in preliminary plat.
Thank you.
2 weeks. No, just, yeah, two, 3 weeks, actually, 3 weeks.
Yeah, 3 weeks. Tonight.
3 weeks. Okay. I'll open a public hearing to consider an ordinance amending the City of Blair Zoning Regulations Section 10 by adding Section 1009 SHD, Special Housing District, as an overlay district intended to accommodate unique land use and other special characteristics of the city to allow, by special use, housing options not generally available in the parent district. Jeff.
Bill, can you get me the
alpha? Oops, sorry.
So, in our discussions with some developers, especially with Phil and I and Aaron, Assistant City Minister Aaron, we were coming up with trying to figure out better tools we can actually help out to make things happen. Much like the previous special overlay district that was added to the ACH, we thought of another one that we might be able to work, and hopefully you guys will agree. What we want to do is amend the zoning regulations by adding another special zoning area, special housing development. This is another one that's going to be an overlay district only, and anything in that overlay district would have to be by conditional use permit. Again, it's can be laid over any place in the city this time, not just certain areas. It can be applied to any zoning district, but it can be applied to that zoning district. People still have to come in for conditional use permit to add something to it. Section 109 is the new one, special housing district. Again, an overlay district intended to accommodate unique areas, such as Mr. Green was talking about allowing maybe housing in bottom floor and second floor of something in downtown business district. What this overlay will do, will give you and the council a chance to say if it's a good idea or not, but we won't have to change the base zoning, and we also will not have to change the future zoning map. So those will stay in compliance and kind of in the direction of our comprehensive plan where it's going. But this overlay would be just another little tweak on something like the building on across from Fernando's. I can't remember the name of it right now, that would be a great apartment downtown. It's got all the parking, but right now, business district does not allow first and second floor apartments. Now, I don't know if anybody's going to do something with that or not, but if they wanted to, having a noble overlay like this would give the option to say, yes, we're going to put this over that, and you apply for a conditional use permit, and Planning Commission and Council will decide if that's the best place for it. The intent, again, we talked about part of the special housing district that we are adding more than just condominiums, multifamily. We want to add cottage villages. And again, the description there is any type of development on a multifamily, single family, small, tiny houses, not tiny as in, you know, the 400 square foot or under, as the described by the International Building Code, but something under maybe 1,200 to 400 square feet. You'd have a cluster room. You'd have different ways to get in there. Again, this would be like initial use permit. So any parking, any storm shelters, anything like that would be decided upon by the conditional use permit. But you'd be able to take this overlay and apply it to different parts of town where it would make sense to, again, to council and to the planning commission. So in this, storm shelter community buildings, cottage villages, condominiums, and signs would be subject to, let's say you have a cottage village, you want to have a little sign that pointed in there. Again, everything kind of runs with the base zoning, because the base zoning will always be there. Anything that the base zoning allows is still allowable, either by an exception or by permitted. This just gives the option of adding something else that may not be in there because of the special circumstances. Again, you can apply it anywhere. Now, somebody might say, well, can you apply one of these, a special housing district onto a industrial area? Well, yeah, you could, because it's for everything. But when you come in here and talk about it, so we want to put a special housing thing over as industrial, you'd simply say, no, that doesn't make any sense. So a lot of it is making these options available that are unique and does not hamstring everybody quite so much because of different base level. So with that,
got a question.
I know.
Yep, got a lot.
So I want to do that building and that building, but not that one on Main Street. We can make that decision if we want you to have your apartment, but he can't have his. Or is it that whole area? I want to know what you're talking about.
So if you will, let's say take the downtown area, just four blocks around 16th and Washington, and you decide to put that overlay over all of it. Let's say put it all over all of downtown business. Well, now you have the option in that downtown area to have multifamily, condominiums, you know, obviously not, probably not cottage. That option is there. They apply for a conditional use permit, and you look at the areas, you go, that one looks good, that one looks good. I don't really think that we like this one here. So you say no?
But Jeff, the overlay district itself is not intended to be just on a lot. It really is an area,
yeah.
You know. Now, just as with any conditional use permit, though, you may have individual lots within that area that you say, nope, that wouldn't be appropriate.
But is that going to be, like you said, this unique one and then this unique one, and somebody said no to this but yes to that? Is that going to snowball into, and how is this different from what we have now? Because right now you have to come in and get a conditional use permit. Still have to get a conditional use permit with the overlay.
Yes, but for some things that they're not allowed. Multifamily, like if you wanted to have two stories with a apartment building in the downtown area, that's not allowed by any zoning right now.
So this is just for the special housing?
Like this is just
something out of the ordinary of single family
unique
residents.
Unique circumstances where you're able to do something a little bit more.
Something different than one single home?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, and if I can expound a little bit, and Jeff did a good job of kind of coming up with this concept, because we've been talking internally about many of these incentives that we're coming forward with from the Housing Committee. On how do you decide where an ADU unit could go, or maybe what part of town is better suited for higher density development? And do we have to come up with a new zoning district and then do lots of rezonings? Or do we come up with this idea, which was Jeff's idea, was, well, why don't we just have an overlay district that allows this more dense housing that we can then place those overlays in certain areas? And we still have to decide where. And that's still going to be something that will ultimately come back to all of you as the Planning Commission on where these areas would go. But the idea was we could have just one kind of overlay district that now allows all this other kind of housing that we've talked about wanting to be able to allow. And then it might be just easier to place that in certain spots than go through a full rezone, because you're not really changing the base zoning district.
So we're not talking about we approve this, we're not overlaying the whole city.
No.
This is just presenting the option.
Yeah, and in fact, this step right now, all you're doing is putting it in the book. You're not putting it anywhere yet.
Gotcha. It's just an option at that point.
Yes, you create the option that it could be applied someplace. You're going to see in just a minute. We do have an option queued up, but oftentimes it's what we do, right? And so we'll want to put it someplace, but this is also going to be, I think, an interesting, good, creative way for us to be able to look at rezoning an area that, and just to tell you where we're going, it's the next item, that an area that's Office Park District. That we do feel like now, though, because of its proximity to 10th Street, that whole corridor, Dollar General, higher density housing in that whole area of town would be good for some housing. Yeah, we could come in and do a rezone. That's what we were intending originally to do. But then we, again, started thinking, well, we're still going to have to go through a zoning process, but instead of changing these base zones all the time, maybe it's just better to do it with an overlay district that could be applied in a variety of places.
Does this, how does it affect, like, comprehensive plan, future land use maps, that kind of stuff?
Good point, but we're not changing the underlying zoning district, and it's one of the reasons why we hesitated to do it, because, we've maintained for years this Office Park District all along 10th Street, wanting it to make sure that it was a buffer to the industrial. In a sense, we really don't want to lose that. And if somebody, with an overlay district, it may allow somebody right now to build housing. But if we had rezoned this whole strip, all of a sudden now the guy who did want to build maybe an office building can't do that anymore because we just changed the zoning on him. Where this leaves the zoning there, it allows, though, for compatible uses, I would say, and oftentimes higher density, mixed use, family developments, and office buildings tend to go fairly well together. You still don't want heavy industry there, though, which is what the Office Park District keeps you from doing. So.
But if it's zoned, if the base zoning stays, let's just say Office Park, same as on north side of Lincoln Street, it's CCB, and there's single family homes there, you can't get an FHA lender to lend on that because of the zoning.
But the zoning here, if it does have the overlay district, that is allowed through that overlay district, and they'll recognize that as being
FHA will. Like an FHA lender will loan on that.
Correct.
With that type of zoning.
Correct.
With the overlay?
Yeah, because the things they won't lend on is when you're non-conforming. And so we're trying as best with all of these overlay districts to make sure that we allow certain things, but then don't automatically make other things non-conforming anymore. And that's when you have financing troubles.
It's that 100% rebuild as well.
Right. But as long as it's conforming, even if it's conforming with a conditional use permit, as long as it's conforming, they're usually okay. But great question.
I'm just kind of, this is just curious. I'm not complaining, but let's say someone in some area that's not here wants to do something that requires this, and for his building, whatever, who decides what area that might surround that building that allows him to do it?
Yeah,
I mean, it's kind of.
And don't think of this as being placed on a parcel at a time, because it's in an area.
Right.
Now,
so you got to do an
how
area.
How big is that area? I would think. And this is what you as a planning commission, because you'll see these coming forward to you, you should look at least at a minimum of a block. Good zoning rules say that you don't spot zone things,
right,
if you can get away from it. So you don't want just individual lots to be different than everything around them. And the way you do that is you don't let somebody then just spot zone something. And so you wouldn't apply this just to a lot. You might do it to a whole block, maybe under certain circumstances, half a block, or if it's divided by an alley, because we've seen several places here in town where kind of one half of the street past the alley is kind of one nature, and then it's slightly different on the other side of the alley. That's not even good all the time, but that's happened, But yeah, it's really up to all of you as a planning commission and ultimately the council.
Someone has proposed those boundaries, but we could change it if we didn't like the
absolutely
boundaries or something.
Yeah.
We'll just vote no for all
and,
of them.
Yeah, and right now this is just putting it in the book. So it's not really putting it anywhere yet. That'll
yeah,
be the
makes
next
sense.
Step.
Yeah.
One correction though, you'll notice up here, single family housing is not part of this overlay.
Yeah, correct.
So
yeah,
we decided we wanted to keep that out, because if it's going to be single family housing, you want it to be in parents' area. So you can add this on top of single family housing, but adding this on to some other zone that doesn't have single family will not allow them to have single family.
Yeah, and that's an important point to note. Maybe that's back to what your concern was, that if this is applied on top of a zoning district that already does allow single family, it doesn't take that away. That still exists in the parent district, therefore still applies.
I was more concerned if it's like a commercial and you put something up there, just making sure any type of family can move in with any type of of lender that they need.
Yeah.
You know, any kind of financial assistance to get the home.
And I think, not to get off track here, but like you're talking about the houses on Lincoln Street and stuff, maybe that's something that needs to be revisited somewhere down the road is, you know, do they really still need to be commercial in the sense as things change? But that's neither here nor there tonight.
Yeah.
But this could be the solution to that.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
That way, if it's damaged more than 50%, we can still rebuild it and put it
correct. Overnight. Yeah, because as long as it's allowed, even with a conditional use permit, you can still rebuild.
Anything else to staff? Is there anyone in the audience like to speak on this issue? Seeing none, I'll close the public hearing and see what the commission would like to do.
I'll make a motion to approve as is.
The ordinance?
Yes.
Second that.
Motion by Kading, second by Boswell, to approve the ordinance as presented.
Yes, as presented.
Please vote.
All commission members present voting aye.
So that will go to the city council in 3 weeks. I'll open a public hearing to consider rezone application submitted by the city of Blair, 218 South 16th Street, Blair, Nebraska, to place section 1009 SHD Special Housing District and Overlay District over the Office Park District containing tax lots 276, 279, 282, 283, 284, and 285, section 12, and tax lots 176, 177, 286, and 287, section 13, all in Township 18 North, Range 11, east of the 6 p.m. Washington County, Nebraska, generally south of Grant Street, east of 10th Street, west of Union Pacific Railroad tracks, and 900 feet north of Wilbur Street in the city of Blair. Jeff.
Thank you, Chair. So here's the answer to the question I had before about where does this go. So right now we've added the tentative to the book on approval of council through your recommendation. Now is the chance to actually put this in place and try to define the areas. We've come up with an area in the Office Park district on South 10th Street that we would like to see this overlay added to the Office Park district area. The Special Housing District, again, is another tool, and Office Park is designed to provide that buffer. There's been some interest, again, in housing on that side of the street. To change it to RMH, which is across the street, it may be perfect for, or may be nice for apartments, multifamily condos, but adding single family housing to that Office Park District would really kind of do away with the whole idea of the buffer. Henceforth, this is why we came up, one of the reasons we were looking at this as being a tool to add to the top. Right now, here's the Office Park District along South 10th Street, you know, residential, multifamily, high density surrounding it. With this overlay, we have looked at these tax lots here. We've talked to the Worleys, we've talked to Mr. Jensen, we've also let Burness, thank you. Burness is no about this. I've not had much contact with that. The actual owner there lives in Thailand, but he rents it out and notices it costs $3.10 to send to Thailand, by the way. just as an aside, sorry. The SHG overlay, though, would take over these lots. Well, we don't want to come down to the Big Ox area. We have this little area up in the Worleys, but then this south of Worleys is an area there too. The GIS shows that without all the zoning showing this area here, again, these are tax lots here. This one's a tax lot. These are tax lots here. Chris is that Chris Jensen here, Nelson here, these two lots, then of course those two down there. This overlay would then give these areas, which is the base office park, a chance to add some other things like multifamily, maybe cottage housing, storm shelters, things like that. We actually do have some interest, which you'll find out in the next item agenda when there's a conditional use permit, if this is applied to this area, of somebody, Nielsen Homes and Development would like to apply for a conditional use permit for that. But beforehand, let's get back to the area. Again, this is the area impacted by the overlay district. Not going to change anything the way it is now, not going to change the future land use map because it doesn't change it, the use as it has been decided for now. Any questions?
I do have one question.
Yeah.
If we're doing this in an area, say we're leaving, I believe that's the Worley property. We're right there on 452 is RMH. Would it make more sense to just cover the whole thing?
That could be an option.
In the sake of not leaving something spotted out.
Right. Well, we don't think it's so much spot in the fact that it's actually across the street is all RMH also. We chose not to add it on top of the Worley because it was already existing. Some of the stuff in the Worley is already there, such as multifamily. Cottage Village is not there, but if at some point they want to rezone that themselves to add something like cottage villages or something like that, they would have that option. But again, the reason we chose not to have that is it's already existing for multifamily high density.
Does that mean that they would come in and say, hey, I'd like to be added to this special housing district? Is that what they do?
They apply for a rezone to expand the current, if it's approved, the current zone, list as is now, if they wanted to.
But they, can you just expand the special housing district over there if they want to do that instead of having a rezone?
We still have to go through,
rezone.
Through the rezone process, the notification process. As of now, we've got signs up on each end of the corners, zoning signs. We have the maps here. I've talked to everybody to explain what's actually going on. So we'd still have to make some sort of notification in the paper, which would require a rezone application.
So the process you have to go through to apply it is roughly the same. It's just that, frankly, with an overlay district, you have more options. Because right. You have the base district plus now this new things for the overlay.
Right.
The reason I got up is I do think just from the sake of openness and discussion that it's worthwhile to mention that you know the property that's going to be looked at in a minute for a conditional use permit, they had sought to have it rezoned from Office Park District, you know, not too long ago and was turned back. But I think again it was turned down in the past because the city staff at the time was doing a really good job of trying to maintain the purity of that Office Park District. But I think it's just important to acknowledge and make note. It had been turned down recently. Yes, we understand. There were reasons why. We just feel like things have changed a lot. And a lot of what has changed is this strong feeling that the whole community has that we need additional housing. And this is a great corridor to do that in because we have lots of people who work at Dollar General right now who can't live in town, and they would love to live in town. And we have other people who would love to live, in other parts of town, this area included, because the walkability here is really interesting. You're not that far away from stores, from the downtown area, from other activities. It makes for a good walkable location, just acknowledging that, fairly recently it had been terminated.
Any further questions of staff? Is there anybody from the audience like to speak on this issue? Seeing none, I'll close the public hearing and see what the commission would like to do.
I think we should approve as written.
Rezone application as written?
Yes. Approve the rezone application as submitted.
Seconded.
Motion by Kading, second by Radner to approve the rezone application as submitted. Any further discussion? Please vote.
way.
Commission members present voting aye, Boswell, Kading, Radner, Boziger, Heinrich, Pleska voting nay, Pounds.
So it passes and it'll go to the City Council in 3 weeks. I'll open a public hearing to consider a conditional use permit submitted by Nielsen Homes and Development, Inc., J. Nielsen President, 1730 States Blair, Nebraska, to allow condominiums on tax lot 177, section 13, Township 18 North, range 11, and tax lot 276, section 12, Township 18 North, range 11, both east of the 6 p.m. Washington County, Nebraska, 590 South 10th Street, for 20 years. Jeff.
Thank you. Again, we're at the end of this kind of this little triad of the housing area for that overlay. With the overlay district being approved, at least on this end of it, Mr. Nielsen has applied for conditional use permit to add actual condominiums, which, according to the overlay district on the office park, would be allowed if it is approved. Again, currently it's office park district. The zoning on the west side of 10th Street is residential, multifamily, high-density apartments, 48 unit apartments, multifamily and duplexes or triplexes and such. Mr. Nielsen plans to build three condominiums containing a total of 15 three-bedroom units with two-car garages. The location again is 590, we'll go to that in a little bit, just south of the creek. And again, 1009 special housing district overlay would come into play for this. Here's a wide range in area. The area we're talking about in this area here, that shows you a Dollar General, 13th Street over here. I suppose everybody's looking at this one. 10th Street, Grant Street. Mr. Nielsen's lot is this area right here, combining those two tax lots, right off of the 10th Street bike trails over here. Again, his idea, his proposal, is to add condominiums to this lot. Base layer, office park, obviously, and then there would be the overlay. Again, not to repeat myself too much, but the nice thing about this, as opposed to before when he applied for a zoning change, is the zoning change would allow anything allowable in RH in high density this way, which means single family, which again would kind of defeat the purpose of office park. This overlay and condominiums, we think they fit well within any of the office areas that may or may not go in the office park. Real quick, this is the FEMA flood map. He's well clear of any dangers. This right here is the 500 year, which is not, you don't have to build up for that. They recommend that you probably have insurance for flood insurance, but that is not required for anything in this area. This is a look at his lot right now off of 10th Street looking east, fairly flat and open. This is his idea of his proposal, would be condominiums. So under the condominium regime, everybody could own their own unit, but everything else would be owned by the condominium association, streets, lands, upkeep and such. This is kind of looking south up here, 10th Street here. And this is just some preliminary looks of what they would look like. Two car garages. And I believe Mr. Nielsen is here to answer any questions about more of this. But as far as that, with staff goes, any questions for us? Yes, sir.
How can we vote to approve something that hasn't been approved by the City Council yet?
So you're giving a recommendation, and you're saying we think this is a good idea or not. If the City Council, as it comes to them in 3 weeks, I believe, August 27th, if at any point of this they decide to vote it down, let's say they start off by saying, no, we're not going to add this to the zoning book, you know, 1009, then everything else is done. Because without the adding the three parts in there in order, it's just not going to be able to be added. So, but you're making recommendations on it. So your recommendation, if you choose to make, would be if everything else is okayed by the city council, the first two items, then your recommendation for adding, for granting the CUP is also there.
I'm not saying I have anything against it or anything like that, but I think procedure stipulates, doesn't it, that we have to, I don't, it's not approved. City Council hasn't approved any of this, so how can I vote to do this when that hasn't been approved?
Yeah.
I'm just going to abstain.
Well, yeah, and obviously you can do that if you choose to, but that's your call. We've done this before, you know, we call it stacking, where we stack these things. Other communities do it as well, you know, and they really do it for the sake of the developer when it's a project that they would like to get started on sooner rather than later. You know, if we delayed the whole thing, you know, and slowed it down, you know, it just takes longer is all.
So. Any further questions of staff? Is the applicant here would like to speak on this? You don't have to. I didn't know if you'd like to speak on it or not.
I'm not Jay Nielsen. I am Jeanette Nielsen, 13476 Spring Ridge Loop.
Spell your last name too.
N-I-E-L-S-E-N.
Thank you.
I am the applicant's wife.
Okay.
And co-owner of the business. And so we had originally requested rezoning to allow for accessible ranches in that area. That's what was turned down. Through the committee and just the changes to try to increase housing in the area, this was a plan that we had previously drawn to try to find a place that might this would suffice for multi-family housing. So with the push for increased housing and more affordable housing or attainable housing, this was something that we would like considered for this area. So there are three bed, the way they're drawn are three bed, 2.5 bath, storm shelters, because they're slab on grade, 2-car garage.
You said storm shelter, you mean each unit has its own storm shelter?
Yes.
What kind of cost estimate do you think a unit will sell for?
We haven't really gotten that far because just to get to this part of the plans, the cost to get the plans to this was fairly high. So until we knew if we were even able to move forward, we couldn't really invest much more in that. So, but our goal would be to get to a place where with this overlay, our focus is to get it to where people can use USDA or FHA housing, whatever's like available to people to make it. So definitely within that range. So, and we feel we can build them quite affordable.
Any more questions for the applicant? Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else in the audience like to speak on this issue? Seeing none, I'll close the public hearing and see what the commission would like to do.
Go ahead. I've done a lot.
I know. I say motion to approve pending the approval of the redistrict or the rezoning.
SAC.
Yep.
I second.
Okay. A motion by Radner, second by Kading to approve the conditional use permit based on the special housing district gets approved. Any further discussion on that? Please vote.
Commission members present voting aye, Boswell, Kading, Radner, Boziger, Heinrich, voting nay, Pounds, abstaining, Haleska.
So that will go to the City Council in 3 weeks. Okay. Oops, there we go. I'll open a public hearing to consider a rezone application submitted by the City of Blair, 218 South 16th Street, Blair, Nebraska, for Special Mixed Use Agricultural Highway Commercial District, SHC, an overlay on Tract 1, Mutual Edition, which is 9330 State Highway 133, Blair, Washington County, Nebraska, located within Agricultural Highway Commercial District, which is ACH. Jeff.
Thank you. Your last consideration for tonight, and it has been a busy night, is an SHC overlay onto the former lots of the Mutual of Omaha building. The building is now vacant. There is some interest in a person or a firm buying that, but they want to use some light industrial in that area. It is ACH, but the SHC overlay, which is that highway commercial overlay that was installed back in June, I believe, does allow for wholesale storage warehouse uses and any industrial manufacturing use which can be performance standards of the special use. In this case, all inside, no noise, no smell, anything like that. So really from the outside, the envelope of the proposed use for this, it would be no different than pretty much what's going on now. This shows you the area the Mutual building is on top there. Highway 133, here's the access points, frontage road around there. Again, this overlay would give this option, if it's approved, for them to move forward through a conditional use permit at a later date, saying we'd like the CUP to do this, and they'd have more information. But the first start is actually making it available, since that would not be allowed in ACH without the overlay district. So going back to, should I know a map? I apologize for that. But it shows you right there the Mutual of Omaha building, former Mutual of Omaha building. So any questions for staff? Again, this is just an overlay district to add to allow them to apply for a conditional use permit at a later date.
So this is a case where we're putting the overlay district on one lot.
Larger lot.
Well, you know, we talked about areas, and all of a sudden it's one lot. That's why I was just asking the question.
But it's not a house lot. It's a big space, so it's different.
I understand.
We hope.
And, and one of the things we talked about, because keep in mind, Mutual has two lots there now. So they added that lot that's in the front of their property that's for sale.
That's
right. We asked about whether we should go ahead and apply that to this particular lot, which we could go ahead and do. And if you would feel more comfortable doing that, we would recommend that to them in the future. I think even from Mike Brooks' perspective, it was like, well, you know, it really is highway commercial. We'd love to see some more commercial use than this kind of a use. This is part of the challenge you have, though, when you have a nice facility that's in a town and all of a sudden it's not needed anymore. And when your primary building was there to store paper, they're not doing that anymore. They don't need to store those kinds of documents. It's not a data warehouse as much as it was a paper storage warehouse, and they just didn't need it for that anymore. So Mutual was getting rid of it. Then you just have the next logical buyer who comes along. This happens to be an injection molding company from Omaha that's looking at expanding. And they're really, really interested in this particular location. Love the facility. In fact, they're looking at expanding the building itself for their production. But it would all be inside, really no noise outside, no vapor, anything like that. So seems like a fairly good use, and again, lots of really good jobs.
I just found it a little bit ironic that we picked a lot.
It's totally, I'm with you.
I'm just going to put it on everything, do the whole city, be done.
Okay, is there anybody in the audience like to speak on this issue? Seeing none, I'll close the public hearing and see what the commission would like to do.
I make recommendation to approve as presented.
Second.
Recommendation by Boswell, second by Kading, to approve the rezone application as permitted submitted. Please vote.
All commission members present voting aye.
So we'll go to City Council in 3 weeks. Staff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just simply want to say again, thank you to all of you for the hard work and the devotion that you put into this. I like the fact that you push back on us. That is your role, okay? So just because we can come up with some creative ideas sometimes doesn't necessarily mean it really is ultimately the best for the city. And so I really, really do appreciate you taking the time to think deeply about these issues, to push back when you feel like it's necessary to push back. I will tell you though that you know the staff and others are working really, really hard to see some good development continue to happen here in town. I think we all feel the need for that, and I'm excited about how things are going. But we're going to continue to try to bring things to you as quickly as we can and see what comes about. So thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
He didn't mean you.
I know, he wasn't. He was looking at me, but he didn't mean me.
He didn't mean you.
I'm looking for a motion.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
I saw him.